Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Thought I'd do a bit of a public service, Jess. I feel like this is going to be helpful for like people like yourself. Like,
sure.
You're going to become a mother sometime in October. Really, really cool. You're more than halfway through your pregnancy now.
No, it's getting to the scary end. Yep. Where I have to think about actually, you know, pushing this thing out. Yep.
And in particular, like for parents of little boys, or they're going to have boys there. You know, you and your husband, you're having a little boy. So yep. It's really, really exciting.
You can't tell anyone.
Mate, don't do that. You've already told everyone. There was a split moment of...
You panicked for a second.
Oh, no. No. Okay. All putting me under the bus aside, it's public service. Again, if you're listening and you've got... Whether it's a young baby boy or a toddler boy, they keep you on your toes. Now, I know I bring you, like, off air and on the show. I'll bring lots of stories about my son, Jack, who's turning 2 next month.
Yeah.
Of, like, things that he's just doing that... You just go, oh, well, okay, I wasn't expecting that. But that's the joy of parent. Like, that's what just comes with it. You've kind of, with your first kid, you've got no idea what's going on. My son kept me on my toes last night, and full credit to him, because he got me an absolute doozy. So he had pretty much the same routine to go to bed every single night. Again, he's almost 2, loves a routine. After dinner, has a bit of a run around, has a bit of a play in the bath, then we get ready for bed.
Yeah.
So he's having a bath, having a splash. We're having a bit of fun. We're playing our little bath games that we do. And so he gets out and he likes to play Bath Man. I think I've introduced
Bath Man. Of course. No, Bath Man.
Yep, so that's when he was not wanting to have baths, we created Bath Man, which is essentially Batman, but with a bath towel over his head, which was initially me. I was Bath Man and I'd go, Jack, it's time for a bath. Come on. And he'd go, Bath Man. And he would follow me and he would get in the bath and he would love it. But after the bath, he's Bath Man. So you put the towel on his head.
And the bath transforms him.
Yeah, so he becomes Bathman, and he runs around going, Dada, Mama, Bathman. and it's adorable. And so last night, he's like, Bathman. And I was like, all right, yep. So I put the towel on him, but he didn't want to run. Normally, he does like a little nudie run to his bedroom.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, he's like, carry me. I was like, sure. And as I'm carrying him, he looks at me and he says, Dada, poo.
Oh.
And I go, oh, mate, you want to do a poo? And he's like, toilet.
I was God.
Do you want to go to the toilet? Are you going to do a poo? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I don't think you've just done one like a little bit before. Like,
Tim, don't tell the man when to poo.
Yeah, well, we're trying to communicate because we're getting to a point of potty training potentially. And I was like, if you need, like, you've just done one, but if you need to do another one, do you need to do another poo? And he was like, no. So he was like playing a bit of a joke.
Okay.
And to his credit, he was, because while he was distracting me going, I'm going to do a poo. What he was doing, unbeknown to me, was weeing on me.
The old bait and switch.
Yes. So because I'm looking at him and he's like laughing. I'm like, I don't understand what's funny. And so when I put him on the table, change table to like get him all dry and put him in his pajamas, I look down and I've got a giant circle wet patch. But I'm like, my first thought is...
He's wet from the bath.
So I do what any idiot does.
No, Tim, no.
Lift up my jumper and I go, and then that's when I realized that it was wee. And so I sniff it, I look up, and he goes, wee.
Your kid is a comedian.
So he set me up.
This is the funniest timing.
He set me up, distracted me, made me sniff his wee to then confirm, Dad, I have done a wee on you.
Yeah.
And he thought it was the best. It's borderline, it's close to, if not funnier than the time he asked my wife, his mama, for a piggyback when he was nude. And then my wife cupped his bum because he knows that that's how she kind of holds him farted in her hand. So he's quite good at a setup and a follow through at the moment.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
But it keeps you on your toes. So it's just be wary. There's never a dull moment when you're raising
Yeah, honestly, when you started that story, I thought he was going to poo on you.
Well, so did I.
The bait and switch.
Well, when it's not number 2, it's definitely going to be a number 1.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, have you been seeing those, I know we talked about it a little bit last week, the signs up all over town for the circus that's in town at the moment?
Yeah, well, I think I said last week I was convinced that aliens were in Geelong because I could see flashing lights in the sky and it was travelling like from Armstrong Creek to Belmont, like East Geelong. I was convinced. And then I realized that it was just spotlight for the circus. And I was like, oh, that's right. The circus is in town. But yeah, some of the, is this the inflatable ones or is this the giant
signs? I've seen inflatable ones, the signs. Like the circus has such great marketing. They're just.
Well, they go around the country. So they just take. They just go and knock on people's doors.
The amount of money they must have for core flutes. I just, oh,
yeah.
Well, unbelievable funds.
You got to admit, like, they probably buy a whole... Because, again, they travel around the country.
Yeah.
So they buy them in bulk, and then they would just change the details with a sticker or something on the bottom. So they just go, bleh.
You would hope so.
Yeah, well, otherwise, yeah. You don't want to be in Adelaide being like, oh, Warren Pond Circus. That'll be fun.
But I was driving around on the weekend with my husband, and we were, you know, we spotted a few of these signs around. He's like, oh, the circus is in town. And it, like, occurred to me, like, when would have been the last time that people, like, ran away with the circus?
Okay.
You know, like, when, you know, you read stories or, like, there's movies about it, like, you know, you go and see the circus and all of a sudden you're captivated by it and then just move along to the next town with them.
Yeah, well, this is what the greatest film of all time, The Greatest Showman, and real story, is all about. It's about people that didn't feel wanted, so they ran away to another life where they could, you know, get... whether it was get paid or feel like a part of a community, and they would go away. If they were oddballs, they would go and be involved with the circus. I think it's definitely still...
Well, I don't think it's just oddballs anymore. Like, they're quite talented.
Yeah. Like, it's like gymnasts and those kind of things.
Big skills. But how does one get into that? Like,
well,
do you decide
I understand from your point of view as someone with a lack of skill, you would go, but how do you get that skill?
We did discuss, like, me and my husband, what role I would have if I were to join the circus.
Can I answer what I think you would have said?
Go on.
Ringmaster.
No, I said ticket office.
Ticket, oh, jeez.
I don't even know if I've got the skills for ringmaster, to be honest.
I don't think you got the skills to be ticketmaster. You're terrible with money.
What would be your job if you ran away with the circus?
I feel like I would be just an ensemble member. I don't know if I'd be standalone, but I feel like I could definitely train towards something. Like I like those giant rings where like someone's running on the inside of one.
Oh God! And then someone's on the outside.
On the outside, I feel like I could get around that. I'd be the inside ring guy.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want to do anything with animals because I love animals too much.
I don't think any of them do anything with animals anymore, do they?
Oh, hopefully not. I have no bike confidence, so I couldn't do that.
Sure.
Anything with bikes, but yeah, I think I could be in a giant spinny thing. I don't think I could do the Wheel of Death.
I could probably
scary.
Do the clown.
It's fun to laugh at you. Yeah. But how long has it been since you've been to a circus? Are they still rocking clowns at circuses?
They had one at the last one I went to.
Okay. And what was the clown doing?
Well, he was mainly just like the filler guy because then there was like, because they had to set up these big elaborate shows. You feel really yucky about me calling him a filler guy, don't you?
Well, no, I just like, you're talking about yourself in turn. Really? Like, I was like, oh,
I'm a good distraction, you know? Look over here. Don't look at that giant ramp that we're about to set up.
Let's look at your strengths.
Okay.
You're loud.
Yes.
You're proud.
Mm-hmm.
You're very much yourself. I think you're very friendly. Maybe a clown is definitely, like, you are clumsy.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
People would think it's part of the act.
But it's just you literally helping set up. Like, that clown's killing it. Oh, no, that's just... That's just one of the engineers. They're just helping set up this trick.
Jess the Bozo.
Yeah. So,
Bozo the Jess?
No, Jess the Bozo.
Yeah.
I guess you are. Regardless, Jess, you're a Bozo.
But back to my first question. How does one get involved in the circus these days?
If you want to
quit, do you apply?
I know you're going on maternity leave soon, but if you want to leave earlier to join the circus for a couple of months.
I just might go check it out. Right. I don't know.
It's Tim and Bozo. Tim and Jess, the
podcast. I feel like I'm...
like losing my mind a little bit with the something. I didn't realize it had been happening in my household for years. And then I saw like an Instagram reel on it and I was like, oh my God, my wife's like this as well.
Oh,
I just don't see the hoopla of a low bowl over a plate.
What do you mean?
Like a low.
Oh, just like a plate with like a little bit of lip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's there. They work just as fine as a plate does.
Yeah.
My wife is obsessed with a low bowl.
Really?
She thinks they're like if you put a plate in front of her.
Things might slip off, Tim.
Well, that's what I think she thinks. I think she thinks she cuts into something, it's just going to slip off the edge. Like a plate obviously has a teeny tiny lip.
Yeah.
Like a teeny tiny. Hey, this is all you need. From us to keep whatever you want in here. Like just this tiny little lip
anything
curve.
More than a tiny lip, you just go a big bowl.
Pretty much. Like, because we have, So we only ever had plates and, like, I don't know, soupish style. So, like, quite a sheer drop off from the edge of the bowl down in. Like, you would, that's a cereal bowl, it's a soup bowl.
Nice.
But we have, my wife went to, like, Kmart or whatever and just bought some two low bowls.
Yeah.
And even if we're having, like, roasted veggies and, like, steak, low bowl.
See, I'm a big fan of bowls in general. See, even a low bowl is basically a plate for me. And I don't like a plate. I want it because usually we're sitting and eating in front of the TV on the couch.
Oh, right.
So we're not very often sitting at the kitchen table. So I'm not a... If I'm sitting at the kitchen table, I'm a plate person. But otherwise, I'm a bowl for everything.
What have you been putting in bowls lately?
What do you mean?
What do you... If you're saying it's everything, like, what's the strangest thing you've chucked in a bowl?
I'd have a sandwich in a bowl. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, I'll put a pizza in a bowl. Put a pizza in a bowl. Why do you need a bowl for a sandwich?
We got a banh mi the other day, and I was sitting on the couch, and I didn't want to get it everywhere, so I just put a bowl underneath, and I just caught anything that fell, and then I could eat that after.
This is how pigs eat. It's called a trough, Jess.
It's not attached to me.
You think pigs are walking around with trough necklaces? They eat over troughs because it slops down.
Yeah, and so do I.
Sandwiches only go on, if you have one sandwich, small plate.
Sure.
Two sandwiches, big plate.
Three sandwiches, that's a bowl, baby.
What are you, if you're having toast?
I mean, I wouldn't often have toast, but it would probably go in a bowl.
No, small bowl. You're just joking now. You're being silly. You're not putting a... Why would you put a sandwich in a bowl?
Because I might have something to dip it in. Like, you know, if I'm doing toast, I might dip it.
You know, you put butter on it. You spread butter on it. You don't have to dip it into the butter. I don't know if you know how to eat food by the sounds of it. 5-2-2-3-2
You're mad at your wife for a low bowl. You're mad at me for a big bowl.
Why are you using a bowl to eat a sandwich? I'll keep bringing it up.
You said what's the weirdest thing you put in a bowl? A sandwich.
Yeah, I know, but now I'm asking why you've done it. Was it an accident? Had you been drinking?
Yes. I've been heavily drinking.
There we go. Not now, obviously. You're pregnant. 5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5 What's better, a low bowl or a plate? Because I'm really about plates. Lockie in Teesdale. Where are you leaning? Do you like a low bowl or are you a fan of a plate?
Look, I push the plates to the back of the cupboard. Give me a low bowl any day. Pair that with a spork. And I am just in my element.
Happy days.
Did you just say a spork, mate?
Yep.
There's no one using a spork.
Hang on a second.
There's no one using a spork other than toddlers.
Hang on a second, Tim. Lockie, do you have a spork that's, like, made of metal? Or are you using reusable, like, plastic or, like, God forbid, those wooden sporks?
No, these are the fancy sporks from the homeware shop. They're made of metal. We've got a whole set of them. Cost of living. I haven't got time to chase my peas around the place. I want to scoop them.
Look,
they're to the people. Talking about the real problems.
You did mention a splayed to me off the
air.
What
is a splayed?
Got them too. They've got a knife on the side of the spork.
You don't need to use any other utensil. You got all three in one.
How much time are you losing chasing peas around your bowl, Loggy?
Too much. I haven't got time for normal forks and put the plates in the back.
All right, wow. We're learning a lot. This is not where I thought it was going, but yeah. I'm happy we went there. Thank you very much,
I think Loggy. you should meet your wife at her low bowls.
Oh,
bring some splades into the house.
Some sporks.
You're like, look, less cleaning up, less utensils.
But it feels wasteful to throw out our perfectly fine cutlery to buy a spork. I'm not convinced they're not high end.
Apparently, I just googled splades, and another name for them is spinorks.
Okay,
so.
Well, you're a spinork.
This is Tim and Jess.
Tim, this weekend I started playing a new game on my Switch. It was based on a recommendation from you, actually.
I was intrigued to see how this would go.
Yeah.
Now, the game is technically called It Takes Two.
My husband and I refer to it as the divorce game.
Well, that's because that's what my wife and I called it because the start of the game.
Yeah, well, give the context. What's the game about? Because it's like a role play kind of game.
So you need two players. Yeah. So it's you and whoever it else is. And you are the parents of a little girl. And it starts with like your beautiful home. Mm-hmm. And like the girl's playing with her little dolly. But mum and dad are fighting downstairs and talking about the upcoming divorce that they're getting through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're fighting. And then they get shrinked down to like tiny insect size.
Well, the size of her dolls.
Yeah, the size of her dolls. And then you play as them trying to get back to your bodies again.
And the whole point is the game, you can't pass any of the levels without working together as a team.
So, we're like, again, super short. Like, if you need to jump up somewhere, one person needs to do something, like, do it well so that the other person can jump up and then they help the other person. So you have to work together. Now, I have been worried about you and your husband playing this because your husband's very... He's very good at games. And like you play a lot of Lego-based games.
I do love Lego Harry Potter.
But in your words, you do most of the collecting. Mm-hmm. Like you collect all the little bits. While he does the
fighting.
Yeah, the real stuff.
But the thing is, with this game, you both need to be doing the fighting.
And there's some moments where only you, Jess, will have to do the fighting and your husband will have to, like, he won't be able to help.
Yes.
Now, we caught up on Saturday night. We went to the basketball at the arena. You left early to go and play this game for the first time.
We love it so much. It is so good. How far into it did you and your wife get?
We finished the game.
You finished the game?
Yeah, we finished the game ages ago.
Right. So this is the thing we're finding. Like, we started the game and obviously the story is pretty intense. Like, it's
laced with real world events.
Yeah, absolutely. And my husband was like concerned when we first started playing. He's like, is this going to end our marriage? Like, are we doing marriage counseling through a video game? Like, because there's the whole thing is there's a
very culturally insensitive book of love. Everybody needs to work together, man. It's very culturally insensitive.
And he talks about how we have to collaborate and we have to listen to one another.
You need to work together, like in the real world.
Yeah. It's so good. And we've been very patient with one another because there has been parts of the game where, like, we had to fight the vacuum cleaner. And I went into panic mode, like full panicked, because I couldn't pass this part of the game. And usually it's the part of the game where I'd hand the remote to my husband.
So you do it.
And be like, finish this level. But we both had to do it together. Otherwise, we couldn't pass the level.
How patient was your husband with you?
Oh, I'm still kind of... I'm not great at aiming the camera where I need to walk.
That's one of the big hurdles. And that's the easy part of the game.
So often he'll be like, where are you? I'm like, I don't know. I can't see. And he's like, look on my screen. I'm like, but then I can't see where I am. That's a lot of our conversation, honestly, is where are you? Come find me.
Has it caused any little interactions of, a fiery exchange because you're frustrated with each other?
Honestly, as the Book of Love says, Tim, we work really hard together and we've been collaborating. And there's been moments where he's very politely told me that I'm doing the wrong thing. And moments where I've very politely told him that he's doing the wrong thing. Yeah. I think it's ultimately going to bring us together as a couple.
The divorce game.
The divorce game.
It's good fun. I, like, from my experience of these co-op games, like the way my wife spoke to me while we were playing, I was like, I understand why they're going through something. Because communication.
Oh, but honestly, both of them are so annoying and they argue the whole way through. Like, we had to mute it the other day because I was like, I can't listen to these two argue anymore.
You're the weirdest person I know. Hands down. Tim and Jess driving you. That is so strange. You're on K-Rock.
This is Tim and Jess.
I think this happens in a lot of households. And I'll be honest, things escalated quite quickly.
Oh.
And I know you're going to, initially, Jess, you're going to tell me to simmer down and you're going to say, what have you done? We got a new pet this weekend.
Oh, more fish.
So you got a bit upset because I got 10 fish.
And how many do you currently have?
I got 8 fish.
Yeah. But for a while there, you had 6.
Yeah. So I bought 8 and then we lost 2. And then I was like, what we'll do is I'll overpopulate, mm-hmm. which will scatter the fishes, and they'll be so focused on the other fish, they'll stop dying. And it's worked a treat. It has worked.
You know what else works? When you clean the tank.
It's so much harder.
Tell me you didn't buy more fish.
No, I didn't buy more fish. But look, we've had a dog since long before our son was born in the house. Like, our dog is 8-9 years old now. So that's been good. I have been floating the idea of a tortoise.
A
tiny little, like, just like a little one.
That's
that
a long-term commitment, my friend.
Well, in my ideal world, the fish all die and we have an available tank.
Is this why you're not cleaning the fish tank? You animal.
Hey, if that's what ends up happening, then good
that's
for
that. That's why we're the top of the food chain, Tim.
Whether it's a turtle or a tortoise, again, I always get confused. But just the one that, you know, you give it a bit of lettuce,
well,
keep it in the bowl.
Turtle has the flappies and
tortoise
has
the legs. I want legs. So not a tortoise, but that was, my wife and I, we've discussed. And again, these conversations are happening a lot with people
that
have kids.
They live for so long, like, imagine, you know, you get it now, your son's two. At his 18th birthday,
the tortoise is still there. He's celebrating with a little party hat on.
I mean, you won't be able to see him because you'll never clean his tank.
A little party hat on, Jess. Little tortoise. I mean, terrible suggestion if you don't want me to do it, because I'm immediately on board. But yes, I have heard that tortoises do live for quite some time.
Yeah.
But again, this happens and you go like, all right, we've decided the tortoise, maybe a third or fourth birthday present. When there's a little bit more responsibility coming in. You know, my son's not even
when he can contribute.
Yet. Currently, he just pokes the fish tank and says, dirty. And I go, yeah, I hear it every day. You too. You stacks on. It was actually not. It was something that my son has brought into the house. We are now the very happy owners of quite a few pet rocks.
Oh, okay. I'll approve of the pet rocks. Because they're low effort.
I'm actually mighty high on these pet rocks so far. So this started a couple of weeks ago. You know how, maybe 2 weeks ago, there was all that rain for a week.
Yeah.
All my son wanted to do was go and jump in puddles.
Of course.
So we had an afternoon. We had two whole days.
You were going out looking for puddles.
We would go and we would find the best puddles. And I could see he was like, after you've jumped in 50 puddles.
Yeah.
You know, the 51st is there to get. But I was like, hey, why don't we collect some nice rocks? We'll bring them home for mum. You know, what a nice little treat.
Mum's like, great, this is what I wanted.
Well, it was just me and my son. So we're just out there. And I was like, why don't you find mum three really good rocks? So trying to like do a bit of counting and that kind of stuff. And I was like, don't pick up any rock. Yeah, don't pick up any rocks. Like, these have got to be special. And he picked three quite nice rocks. And he loves these things. Initially, they were up on the windowsill.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, all right, we'll put them up there because these are just rocks inside a house. And we'll just put them up there. And he's asking about them every day.
Wow.
Rocks. Rocks. And now, googly eyes, we got pet rocks.
Oh, you googly eyed them.
Yeah. I'm a bit worried, though, because he's currently, you know, he's got six stuffed animals in his bed at night.
Yeah.
We went from four to six in the space of a week or two.
You don't want to put rocks in the bed, too.
That's what I'm worried about. Yeah. I'm worried the rock, Rocky.
I remember a rock in the face.
Yeah.
Middle of the night
as
not
well.
Not fun.
So, but hey, 5223295. If you have any advice about what's the best thing to do with a pet rock, because my son, he's all about it. He wants to know what's the limit of owning a pet rock. They are quite low maintenance, I'll admit.
Yeah.
But
this is the kind of pet I approve of you getting now, Tim.
Okay. See, I told you.
For a second there, I was really concerned you were going to say bird. And I was going to I'm going to have to rein that in.
We'll be running a small reptile centre by the end of the year.
Lord.
Mark my words. But yeah, if you have any advice on what to do with pet rocks, please help. Because we have run out of ideas of taking them to the shops with us. And that is pretty much my ideas. Bonanza.
Take him down
out.
The slide. Yeah.
Now we're talking.
See? Fun right. Auntie Jess this strikes again. Fun. Sean from Clifton Springs has not got young kids now, Tim, but apparently has many a pet in her past.
Okay.
Sean, you're very experienced in this field.
Yeah, we've had some random stuff coming in and out of the house over the years.
Okay.
Some are disgusting, some not so disgusting, but an idea that you can do is do Jack and Rocky's day out.
Oh,
and
cute.
You take the rocks with you and you go on a picnic and you go to the playground and the beach or whatever.
Mm.
Take heaps and heaps and heaps of photos. And then at the end, you come closer to Christmas, you make a little book for him with his name in it.
Oh, my God.
Story that you go out.
Shard, that's amazing. That's amazing. Adorable. I'm imagining like two ice cream cones, one in Jack's hand, one with the rocks.
Yeah, anything like that. And then Redbubble, you can make your own books on Redbubble. You can just make a little book.
Because there was, I'm happy we've moved on to the pet rocks, because there was a period where whenever we go for walks, he'd bring home a stick. And I'm just not a huge fan of the pile of sticks out the front of the house.
Sure.
A bit sharp, you know, he tries to put them in his mouth. Rocks big enough where he can't put it in his mouth. And that is one of the key indicators for a
tongue. Yeah, well, wait till you start getting frogs and lizards and moths and little fish.
Sorry, Sean, you're saying this like it's a bad thing. This sounds incredible. I will turn my garage into a home for these things.
9 out of 10 times, I didn't know they were in their pockets. So when I did the washing, I found them dead and floating, you know.
Oh, I'm not ready for motherhood. Yeah. Oh, God.
We had a kid bring a frog in his backpack to school once. I remember in primary school.
In my bedroom. A frog in my bedroom that had escaped from under her bed.
Okay. So you think, we're getting sidetracked.
Yeah.
So Jack, my son, we go out he has a date with all the rocks, takes
Jack
all three
rocks,
of them out.
Big day out.
Big day out. All right. And we take some photos,
make a little collage, make a little book, make a story up for it about their day out, and then give to him for Christmas, and then you can read a story about their fabulous day out.
The only flaw in all of this is that from 6 months from now, I don't know if Jack's going to remember the rocks.
There's a huge chance.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because his photo and his name's in the book, so it'll bring back that memory.
Well, remember Rocky? Remember Roxette?
Yeah. You're like, it's me.
All right. Well, Sean, you are a killer for advice lately. We always appreciate when you call the show, so thank you very much.
My pleasure. Enjoy your day.
There we go. You too. I mean, I'm liking it. I'm liking this.
Has terrified me of having children, which is concerning because I'm halfway to cooking one.
Yeah. You're cooking it now. You're not halfway to cooking it. Don't cook your kid.
No.
Sorry, I'm not a parenting expert.
He's baking inside me right now.
Yeah, right now. But, all right.
This is my oven.
What color rock do you want for the birth? Because I will get it, and a little rock can be in there.
I want a yellow one, please.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Oh, my God.
There we go. Lock it in. I'm an incredible parent.
Come on. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.